Session number 16700. Session number 17623. Henry Watson, reel 16.
Mr. Watson, reel 16. After Worthing, what happened to you?
Got sent home on leave.
How long did they give you?
I think I had 10 or 11 weeks leave. Can't remember exactly.
Had they paid you for...
Oh, yes. You got your ration allowance and your pay.
Was there any back money in arrears in your pay?
Well, you had your post-war credits, but they were...
They would come later.
They came later. Actually, my post-war credits was eaten up with tax.
Tax man had his share.
Aye. He had more than his share. He had most of the post-war credits.
Now, how did that happen?
Well, I was... With the pay that I had, I qualified for income tax. And that was just knocked off at the Paymaster General's office. And... you had these things issued, post-war credits, on which you had in credit. And then when we got back to civilian life, they suddenly decided that they wanted tax on all that they hadn't taxed us on. And that's when we lost our post-war credits. I got a few through, but they took some, but I got a few. But there's a lot of the lads lost a lot. That'd be fair. That's supposed to be fair enough.
How had the payment system gone on through your prisoner of war time? You'd be paid at whatever rank you were. Did that continue whilst you were a prisoner?
Yes, yes, yes.
And did they take off from that whatever amount they paid to the Germans to pay you?
Well, not the Germans. There was no pay in Germany. It was in Italy.
Italy.
But not in Germany.
And that would be deducted from your entitlement because it was looked upon as a form of payment. Mm. And presumably your tax had accumulated.
Yes, that's right, yes. So we had the leave and then went back to...
Can I ask you about the leave before we go much further? Obviously you were coming home and you'd been in a pretty... desperate situation for quite a long time. How did you take to settling down at home in those early days?
Well, you can only go by what they tell you, because you didn't realise it at the time that you're inclined to be on a bit of a short string, easily upset. And
these were days when you didn't have counselling and things like that?
Oh, no counselling. Nothing like that at all.
You had to find your own way out of it.
Yeah.
Were you able to manage? You didn't have to go to the doctors because of your health, did you?
No. I got married a fortnight after I got back home. That put me to the health.
the abundance of food now after many, many months of not having it, did that take some difficulty getting used to in a physical sense?
Well, that's what first it was, you know, with... eat just for the sake of eating, but that you soon went back to your normal routine again. Plus the fact that the poor souls that were left in England were on short rations, they just couldn't get what they wanted. I think when we had the ration cards that we got with us on the leave, gave us more rations than what the civilians had.
Was sleeping a difficulty in back home in a soft bed?
No, no. As a rule, sleeping with me is a mild form of death, as I've mentioned before. I did have a little bit of trouble, and occasionally I still get a nightmare, and I'm always in the prison camp, and there's Russians are chasing us. It's a bit horrendous at times.
And you still get those today? Yeah,
shouting. And my wife says, "Hey, go to that camp."
And that would be worse than those initial days, though, no doubt.
Oh, it's I suppose it should be fading now. It's a long time since that happened. This lot happened. Actually, with talking to you about this, has brought it back and made it a bit squeaky at nights.
The 10 weeks of your leave, how did the community receive you?
Oh, the village turned out. Most embarrassing. I was the last one to come into the back home with staying so long in Germany. Not under my own free will, of course, but I was the last one to get out. And I got off the train at Hayden Bridge and the platform was full. And as I was coming up the street, walking home, there was a whist drive in the local church hall. And they stopped the whist drive and all turned out. And I felt about that big.
Did the local council in any way recognise not your own service, but the other local lads? Was anything of that nature, some official recognition of what you'd done?
There was one chap, Matt Smith, they called him. He was a postman. He'd organised whist drives and what have you for the lads coming home to get some money right together. So as far as I remember, there was so much given to us to spend, and that was it. We had a get together one night when all the POWs were all together.
Were there many prisoners of war in this area that you remember?
Not a lot, probably about 15 or 16 of us all together. So one or two Northumberland Fusiliers. One or two rough.
After you leave, what did the army do to you or for you?
Well, they sent me to Hartford Bridge. And we had to learn to slow bombs by numbers again.
Back to the drill square.
Back to the drill.
Yeah, you must have took pretty badly at that.
We did, in effect, because they put a lance sergeant in charge, which is a corporal with the third tape up, not paid as a rule. And this poor lad was drilling. The old campaigners, if you like. It was everything from sergeants, up to WO1s. Well, I mean, when a lance sergeant starts to drill a WO1, it can be rather humorous. They didn't fancy the job, poor souls, but they had to do it. So we were at Hartford Bridge for a week or two, and then I got sent to the Ramey Barracks, which was at Cowgate Workshops. I think it was a CWS garage originally. That's where.
And where was this?
In Newcastle, at Cowgate. We went to the army barracks. Went to Fenham. Were stationed at Fenham, but travelling up to Cowgate each day. But I wasn't long there, perhaps a fortnight, and I was sent to Darlington area, to the CMPs, as fitter sergeants there. We'd been there just a week or two, and we moved to Sandy Lane, Gosforth, where the Ministry of Transport commercial depot is now. That's where we were. And I was able to get a sleeping out pass because I was married, and I was living at, my wife lived at Stocksfield, so I was travelling back to Stocksfield every night. Going back in with the first bus in the morning.
And this was basically doing the work you'd always done?
Yes, back to one thing extra, the motorcycles. I was doing more motorcycles than motor cars or trucks, because there was a draft, I think it was 150 used to come in every month of young lads from the units to be CMPs, and 50 were kept and 100 were on the next train back. And they all had to learn to ride motorcycles. Well, invariably there was 51 out of the 50 couldn't ride a motorbike. And there were some horrendous things came up at the end of the in the back of a truck. But that was my job, put them right. I said then I would never repair another motorcycle, and I haven't. I just refused to.
And you still held the rank of sergeant, was it,
yes,
at that time?
Yes, yes.
And were you now officially in the REMI, as against the RIOC?
Yes, we changed. I was in the prison camp in Germany when we got notification. I can't tell you how, but I think it was to say that it'd been remustered as REMI.
Was the Japanese War still on whilst you were doing
yes,
this work?
Yes.
And presumably many of these recruits or young people would be earmarked for the Far East?
Probably would be, uh-huh.
Where were you when the Japanese War ended? It was the August of 45, of course.
Couldn't tell you. Can't remember.
Did you stay at this place that you've just described in Newcastle?
Until I was getting due to be demobbed, and from there they sent me back to Cowgate Workshops, to Fenham Barracks, and from there they sent us to York, Strensel Barracks. We're there 24 hours, and sent to the centre where they give us the suit and shoes, etc. From there, we got the next train home.
Were you medically examined before you left?
Yes. Quick glance over. If you could see and hear and walk, you're all right.
What date were you demobbed?
Can't tell you that, I'm forgetting it. I have all these dates in a little book, and they're all at the Durham Light Infantry Museum at the moment.
Presumably, 1946, was it? Were you into 1946 before that happened?
Would be. It would be in about February or something like that in 46, somewhere around about there.
It was a long time after, you know, gone through all that prisoner of war time and then being released, and then find yourself still with months of army life ahead of you.
Oh, yes.
Did it get a little bit
frustrating, to say the least?
When you came home as a civilian, then you just took up your garage work again?
Yes. They wanted to send me away on another course, an advanced fitters course or something. And I was talking to the major and told him I didn't want to go. said, why not? It'll do you good in civvy life. I says, it won't. My business is waiting for us. Haulage contractor at the time.
Was your father still alive? Was he still running the business? Yes. It hadn't deteriorated because of lack of someone looking after it.
That's true.
And have you kept up your contact with the old comrades?
Until recently, I used to write, but this last year or two, I'm afraid things have fallen by the wayside. But saying that, a lot of them retired, they've kept coming out of the woodwork to see us. I've had quite a lot of the local lads or ex-prisoners, visitors, come to see us, see how we're getting on. And there's not many that was on a regular basis.
But doesn't Stalag 4B have its own little gathering once a year?
Yes. The nearest to the Stalag 4B was released on April the 23rd, St. George's Day, isn't it? And we have the reunion the nearest weekend to the 23rd. And it's held in Edinburgh. And, well, they come from near and far. We've had them come from as far away as, all right, Australia. They've been coming on holiday up to England, and they've come in, and we've had quite a few of them flown from Canada and America. We've had a good cross-section, but a cross-section only, because out of the roughly 25,000 that was there, the usual count is around about 150.
And was it there that you met this lady that was in the camp?
Yes.
And got your first knowledge of that she was there?
Mm-hmm.
Looking back over your years in the forces and during the war, what was the best thing you got out of it?
Comradeship. You always had a pal with you, and that was it. You had your mate.
And presumably the trust and the responsibilities which you took upon each other.
Oh, yes.
The worst part of your war?
Well, I've just been away from home.
That's a long time.
I'm a home bird.